everyone, welcome back to Wizards of Ecom. This is your host Naomi, and today I have the pleasure to have none other than Michael Pinkowski on the show. Michael is the president of Parsimony, and also he is a certified StrengthsFind coach and consultant of Go Be Strong. Michael, it's a pleasure to be on the show. On our show for you, I hope.
It is a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. And as I was chatting with you right before the recording, why I love to that you are on the show first off, and I was also like saying that I'm a bit nervous, is because you brought up a really, really great subject when you were last time with your partner Steve Simonson on our show. And I feel that about this topic, specific topic that we're going to talk about, which is strengths-based leadership, it's not so talked about. And the reason I want to have you on the show is first off to help us understand what basically means to lead with your strengths. And secondly, to see how can this be used within your corporation. Either we are a solo entrepreneur, a medium business, or even in big businesses as well. So first off, I would start with what means to lead with your strengths.
All right. Obviously, that's the big question. I listened to your podcast with Steve, mm-hmm. and he had a couple of things he kept saying over and over again. Entrepreneurs solve problems. Mm-hmm. And really, one of the hardest problems for an entrepreneur is people. You know, you can get a lot of tips and stuff on, I don't know, HS codes and PPC spending. And, you know, there's a lot of feedback that you get and a lot of sort of fact-based stuff. There's tried and true tactics. But figuring out people is hard. That's one of the hardest problems. So if entrepreneurs are going to solve problems and impact their business, one of the things they've got to be able to do is figure out their people. And the other thing that Steve talked about was that massive changes were coming to the supply chains. And I don't know, I haven't talked to him about this, but I think there are even bigger changes coming to employees. Mm-hmm. We've heard about the Great Resignation. Lots of people are, you know, quitting jobs. I was in our grocery store down the hill from us. And you can work in a grocery store now, and they're offering $20 an hour to start.
Yeah.
This is a job that used to pay $7 an hour. And I mean, like, you know, 2 years ago. And so the ability to find people, keep people, hang on to people is a really big topic. And strengths-based leadership is some stuff that's been put together by the Gallup organization over many years, many decades, really. And we all know Gallup because they do polling. They're out there, researching and polling people about political stuff, but they actually make most of their money by studying the American workforce. That's they're kind of under the radar there, but that's the vast majority of what they do. They've got a small office in DC that does polling, and they've got a big, beautiful campus in Omaha where they study the American and the international workplaces. And what their research told them was, if you can focus on what you're good at, you'll do better. Mm-hmm. And strengths-based leadership is got real two main parts to it. One is for individuals to understand what their strengths are, and then just try to lean into those strengths and sort of deal with, manage, or even avoid in some cases what their weaknesses are. And then when they kind of get themselves dialed in and they kind of know who they are, then they can go to work and talk to their teams and say, you know, what are your strengths and how can I make you better? And that's where the real success comes from. So strengths-based leadership is just understanding what you're good at, finding ways to use that to get the actual work done, because Gallup measures everything in productivity at the end. They don't do it with warm, fuzzy feelings. They don't do it with, you know, a happiness score. They say, is the organization more productive? Do they do more quantitatively of what they are trying to do? Mm. And then how do you go from being just an individual to being somebody that sees that that works for you, and how do you make it work for your organization? So that's the best part of that. Now we can talk about strengths if you're ready.
Yes, I am. And I think like I just started very, very strong. So first off, also like you describe what actually the concept means and talking about strengths as well. What do you think is the most important? Because it was like about individual level, understanding first you, how you work, and then applying, I mean, having that concept, understanding, and then applying to you, to your, I don't know, business corporation or like to the whole structure that you already have. And you were talking about strengths. Now, first off, what are strengths, and how do you define strengths, and what is this test that you're taking to find out the strengths, basically?
So the test is what they call an assessment, and it takes about 40 minutes, and it costs as little as $20, and not more than $50. So it's not some big, huge commitment of time. It is not some extravagant expense. Mm-hmm. And what it does, well, so let's, first of all, let's understand what strengths are. So there are things that everybody's good at. They have talents. My wife, and these are her words, my wife says she can have a conversation with the front door. She has no trouble walking up to people and talking to them. When I go grocery shopping with her, she's forever, you know, seeing somebody that she's never met before and complimenting them on their dress or their handbag or what's in their shopping cart and striking up a conversation with them. It terrifies me. I cannot do that. I am not good at that. I never will be good at that. You cannot train me to be good at that. I don't have that as a talent. She does. Now, this weekend, we had to, we're remodeling a bathroom, and I'm putting in a ceiling fan, and I had to figure out how to vent it out of the room. I'm pretty good at that. She was not. I mean, she's very smart. She's got a master's degree. She's, you know, but this was something where I like to talk it out with her. She has ideas, but when it comes time to know that you need a 3 1/8 inch hole saw to get through, you know, past just underneath the soffit, and you're going to have to put in a reducer because of the room that you got there, I get all that. I'm good at that. I have that talent. I have the, I'm a mechanical knack, if you will. So lots of people have talents. Lots of them are different. What Gallup did was they said, how do we kind of collapse these hundreds and hundreds of different talents down into some themes? And so what they came up with was 34 different themes. And I'm just going to do a couple of them off the top of my head so that you have a sense of what they're about. Mm-hmm. One of my top 10 is something called positivity. Mm-hmm. I almost always believe that it's going to be a good day, and we're going to figure stuff out, and we can, it's all going to turn out okay. That's the Ted Lasso in me, you know. Yeah, we lost the game, but look at all the stuff we learned, you know. Somebody else might have competition, and they might say, we lost the game. That's really terrible. I am going to go and work my tail off because I don't ever, ever want to lose anything ever again. Mm-hmm. You know, they have that competitive spirit and that nature. I have a learner in my top five. Learner means I'm just super curious about stuff. It's a little bit like ADD. You know, I go through emails in the morning and I get a thing from the Washington Post and I have to click on almost every one because I got to know what's going on. You know, I should be working and instead I got to know what's going on in the world and how does this connect and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I'm just really curious about stuff. So in some ways, I know a lot about many things. I'm not all that deep on some of them, but I've heard of them. I've seen that. I'm aware of that, you know. Somebody else, my wife, you know, I told you she can talk to people. That one is called Woo, winning others over, W-O-O. And she can. She, you meet her and you just naturally say, geez, I met Jennifer and isn't she great? And she's, you know, convinced me that my dress looks great, you know, or that that this brand of chocolate syrup that I picked out is the best one, you know. She's just got that ability. Other people have, Steve, he and I joke about this all the time. Steve has responsibility. It weighs on him, but if he says something, he's going to do it. He's going to keep his word. And we had a personal example of that in the last week. He told us that something was going to happen. And if it didn't happen, he would change his travel schedule and go make it happen. And he did. He got off an airplane halfway home to go and make something happen. It's just because he said he would do it. You know, that's responsibility. You keep your word. You feel responsible for others around you. You want to take care of all that you can and make sure that it all works out. So that's just a handful of these different strengths. And there's, like I said, there's 34 of them in total. And this 40-minute test just asks you a bunch of questions. I forget how many there are. I think there's 140. I'm not sure of that. And then you just rate them on a scale. This is very much like me, or this is not at all like me, or these two things, I'm much closer to this one than I am to that one. And the beauty of it is, at the end of the day, there's no bad answers, right? One of the hardest things that I try to tell people that are going to take the assessment is just clear your head and just answer honestly, because there are no bad answers. You're not going to get a thing that says you're a terrible person. You should just go to jail and stay there. You know, that's not one of the things that comes out of this. Mm-hmm. You come out of it with at least your top five strengths, and they're all marvelous. Whatever your top five are, I probably wish I had all of them because they're all really cool. But they're not my top five. My top five are pretty unique and probably don't overlap yours very much. Someplace I've got, I brought my slide deck from the other day, and I thought, here, the chances of my top five being in the exact same order as somebody else's top five is 1 in 33 million.
Oh, wow.
The chances of just having the same top five of you and I, the chances of you and I having the same top five in any order, right, is 1 in 340,000. So there's not a lot of Mikes out there. There's not a lot of Noemis out there. Okay. So you're unique, and knowing yourself and being able to understand yourself and why you're good at some stuff and why you're not good at other stuff gives you a chance to just be more successful. You can, like I said, you can patch your gaps, or you can find people that have different talents, and you can partner with them on stuff, and it's just a much better way to live.
Yeah.
I hope I answered your question back there.
You did answer more than my one question. Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I loved how you also put it with the test. I was like very, very anxious first that I took the test. I wasn't sure what kind of test is this, you know. Then I just, as you were saying, I'm just going to answer as I would normally answer, like very like honestly. And it's funny that once that you're taking the test and once that you are given the answers, it's like, oh, that's really me. That's like, how did they describe me so fast, you know? And it's funny, I'm also a learner. Learner is my first one. Like, I am doomed. So I'm learning all the time.
So that leads you to things like podcasting, where you can talk to people just because you end up being good at podcasting because you're hungry for information. You listen to the host because you want to know, and you ask good questions because you want to know more.
Yeah,
It's just a really good fit.
I love that you already like understand how learner works, and you can also explain why it's a good fit. So yeah, brilliant. I think like as you were explaining, if I understood correctly, you're taking the test and then you see which one fit or which one it represents you better, because there are like 34 different how do you call them, different personalities or different,
well, 34 strengths.
Yeah. There you go. And there are also the top five should represent you mainly. So it's, or how does it work?
Yeah. Yeah. So, So there's a couple of steps to this. So like I said, you can go to Amazon and buy the book for $20. In the back of the book, there's a code that says take the test. And again, it's all done by Gallup. So yeah, there you go. That's one of them. And so it's all done by Gallup. So it's all research stuff. It's not, you know, me doing some hocus pocus thing. And by the way, I don't get anything out of this. Like there's no money involved in this entire conversation for me. So you take the assessment, and then in the $20 version, you get just your top five. In the $50 version, you get all 34. And that the advantage to that is that it lets you see your top 10. Now, the reason people pay the extra $30 is because they want to know what their bottom five are, which is just silly, but everybody does it. But what you're really after is your top 10, because those are the dominant strengths. That really tells the picture of who you are. And even though they're ranked, they're all relatively equal, because different things kind of play into different things. So like a good example would be if you're if you're at a trade show, right? Certain strengths will come into play. If you're around all those people and seeing all that stuff, versus if you've got some work to do doing some analysis, you're going to have other strengths come into play. So you may, in one situation, you might use your strengths number, you know, 1, 3, and 5, and another one, whole different situation, you could be very successful and use strengths, you know, 6, 7, and 10. But those are the dominant ones. Those are going to dictate how you look at the situation, work with the situation, and succeed in the situation. The next 10 are really just, they're sort of there. You use them sometimes, but you're not that good at it. You know, again, I forget where woo is for me. I don't think it's in my bottom five.
Number 13.
You don't.
So it's very low.
But you don't, you know, so you just kind of, it's there. I can be nice to people if I have to. Yeah,
if it's a must.
Yeah. And then there's other things that you're just plain terrible at. Like for me, competition, I am just not competitive. It does not motivate me. It has little to do with my success. And it's just not who I am. I can't, if you wanted to, I like to tell the story. There was a sales contest where I worked one time, and they made it a contest, and it's and they said, this is what you're going to do. And I had no interest in the contest, so I sort of skipped it, and I just went out and did my job, because my job was, you know, letting people see that their business could be better if they used our product. And I have futuristic, which allows me to use words to paint a view of tomorrow that's a better picture. Mm-hmm. And I have strategic, which allows me to sort of marshal my arguments and find a path and do stuff. And I use those strengths, and I won the dang contest. Okay. But I didn't win it because I wanted to be number one. I just won it because I wanted to do a good job and do stuff. So those are the different, the way the different strengths come in. Once you've got that, I spent too much time on that. I'm sorry. Once you see that, then you start to go to work and you say, wow, this does match up with who I am. This does make sense. And when you know that those are your strengths, then you can start to lean into them. I was talking to a guy, and he had been out of work for a little while, and he was getting worried. This was like 3 years ago, and he was worried about finding a job. And he says, but I've got two interviews lined up, and I just, you know, I don't know what to do. And so I said, well, listen, the interviews were, for whatever reason, we knew the interviews were like a week away. So I said, I sent him the assessment. I said, take this and read through it, and then give me a call and let's talk tomorrow a little bit. So he did that night, calls me up the next morning, says, wow, that's amazing. This really feels like me. I said, okay, well, that's a great start. I said, now let's talk about these interviews that you're going to be doing. And he said, well, one of them is this kind of a job, and you got to do this. And I said, okay, so whenever they ask you a question, I want you to really memorize your top five strengths. And then when they ask you a question, I want you to answer that question based on one of those top five. So I kind of grilled him on his top five. I really wanted him to understand them. And we spent like the hour, you know, spending like 10 minutes on each one of them. So he really understood it. And then I said, now, when you get interviewed and they say, well, how do you go about doing this or that? You just say, you know, just go through the top five in your head and just pick one, whatever one comes to your mind first and answer it based on that. So he did, and he got job offers from both companies. Now, you know, your mileage may vary. I can't promise these results, blah, blah, blah. But the point is that he knew what his strengths were. And when they asked him a question that he didn't know what the question was going to be, he kind of knew himself. And he said, this is how I'm going to approach this situation. And it was so convincing because it was him, because it was authentic, because he wasn't trying to figure out what they wanted to hear. He came across really well. And after a bunch of interviews with no offer, he goes into two and gets two offers. Just, you know, boom, boom in the same week. So then he says, now I got to buy you beer to pay you for the test. And how are we going to choose between these two offers?
Obviously, this is why he bought the beer, to have you sit down and actually talk about, right? Yeah. By the way, it's funny that you were saying about competition. I was just looking at my test and it's like, competition for me is number 33. So they're there.
Yeah.
I'm also not competitive.
Yeah. Right. And yeah. You're successful, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've had a boss that says, well, who doesn't like to compete? And I, you know, now I'll just raise my hand and say, I don't, but it used to be that was like a mark against you. Right. Yeah. I mean, we all love sports. We all love the champions. We all love, you know, the winner, and that's cool, but you don't have to be competitive to get there. You can use other things to get there. That's the point.
Follow up to what you were saying, you getting other things to get there. Like coming from the school system, I think that I personally always had, and probably I'm not the only one, was like, you have to be good at all these things, or you have to be very competitive. You have to be very, you want to achieve things. You have to be very responsible. You have to be like very smart and everything. And most of the time, what I feel is like, I felt somehow like damaged good because I didn't have that. Yeah. So my main strengths were relationship building. That's my main thing, you know? And my question here is like, if you know already, and if you took the test, and if you have these skills and you would like to change them, how can you do it so you can also be strategic, yes, in the same time emotional, or be able to talk to someone?
Well, you can't really change your strengths. They are who you are. They're pretty deep inside you. But what you can do is lean into them to find a solution. Mm-hmm. So my learner can get in the way of my productivity sometimes. And I can wish that I had the strength of focus,
yep.
Right? The ability or the strength of discipline. Both of those are way down the list for me. Mm-hmm. So what I've done, and I do this all the time, is let me put my five on the table here. I have a futuristic, which means I see a better tomorrow. I have strategic, which says I see different ways to get someplace and I can choose the right path to get to where I need to go. I have connectedness, which means that I see how systems interact and I see how people help each other. I have belief, which is I have a strong sense of right and wrong. I cannot do something that is bad. I just can't. It just doesn't work. And then I have learner in my top five. And then, like I said, positivity is in my top 10. So I start the day saying it's going to be a great day. That's the first thing, right? The next is I think about, where do I need to be tomorrow? If I have these dreams all the time that things are going to be better tomorrow, what do I need to do today to get there? Right. And then I kind of connect two or three of them together because I always have so many things to do. So I kind of connect two or three of them together. And I say, okay, which of these should go first? And if we did that one, could we pick up a couple more along the way? And maybe we'd have an amazing day and pick up, you know, four or five things. So can you see positivity, futuristic, connectedness, strategic, you know, I'd use those things to say, okay, here's a list. Let's focus on these things. And And even though I don't have discipline to always write down all of the list and then check them all off the list, I'm not that kind of a person, but I still have that framework in my head that helps me to put together a good day.
Got it. So rather than working on something that you would wish to have, work with you what you already have, because those are actually going to be way stronger that you want to wish to have, if I understood correctly.
The Absolutely.
Strengths. Got it.
Absolutely.
This is super, super.
I talk to people sometimes and they'll say, you know, geez, how do I get more or something or other? And I say, wait a minute, tell me what your top five are. Again, you have to focus on what is the good stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Focus on what's right. And I say, so let's lean into those things and can that get you there? Well, sure, you can do that. And the beauty of it is it's easy because you're already good at it. You already have that as a strength. If you really want to get deep into this stuff, you can hire a coach and they can help you to understand the strengths better. And you can there's exercises where you can start to see where you use those strengths. And you can look back at when you were successful and how those strengths made you successful. And then that helps you to kind of consolidate your effort and focus on your strengths. But that's all a deeper journey. Honestly, you can get so much just out of knowing what they are, putting names on them, and then using those words, you know, regularly when you think about yourself or when you talk to others.
Mm-hmm. I love how you put it. And I think the next question would be there, because like, yes, you gave a brilliant presentation. There were, I don't know, around 20 people showed up, 30 people showed up. Everyone said that it's a brilliant presentation. And afterwards, when I went there to talk to you and congratulated you on the presentation, you gave me something like, I hope at least two or three people are going to actually execute upon what I just talked about today. And that's exactly my next question, like, because all this is like brilliant. And in theory, it's amazing. How many people do you see that actually are going to come and really take it seriously? First off, in their lives, and then also in their organizations.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I'm really glad that you reached out to me, because it gives me a chance to say this. There's something about PPC strategy or sourcing tactics or whatever that somehow they've got a sex appeal that understanding yourself and working better with people doesn't have. And I don't quite understand that, but there's something, about how to run a better replens program that, you know, people, you know, wig out and pay a ton of dough. And when I show up and say for $20, you can know yourself better and get to know your team better, and you will be more successful. You know, it's a long-term strategy. Somehow that doesn't come across quite as well, but it really is. If the smart people know that investing in themselves and investing in their teams is a long-term competitive advantage.
Yeah,
it's a way to build a resilient workforce. It's a way to retain good people. It's a way to attract good people. When you've got a good team, you know, they go out and they find other people. I was asking somebody on our team, you're amazing. I said, how do we get more people like you? Do you have some friends? She's, I've got friends. None of them are good enough for this place. Wow. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
You know? That's a compliment, and that ends up being a competitive advantage for me as a manager and for us as a company.
I love it. I love how you put it. And at some point you were saying that smart people are reaching out, so on. You just made me smart. I love it. Thank you. No, but for real, like, I totally agree with what you're saying. And also, as you were saying, yeah, about the sex appeal of like PPC or all this, I see those like fast. Okay, I'm just doing this technique and it's going to work. When here it's really like you're working on yourself. And that's like, I'm always saying, the ugliest thing and the hardest thing is to look yourself in the mirror and see, hey, those are the things that look, this is who I am, you know? Most of the time we are like, as I was saying, sometimes are very appreciated by the community or by people around us because we have those like very hard skills, you know, sometimes not. And most of the time, those are taking the, that's taking the most time. That's taking the longest time to really build yourself up and are also like build your others up in this scenario. So I totally agree with what you are saying. That's why probably it's not so like hot topic because it's hard, you know, harder than PPC.
Well, that,
you know?
That does. that does lead me into the one thing I definitely have to say on your show at least once.
Please do.
The guy that came up with all this is Don Clifton, and the stuff is called Clifton Strengths. So if you want to Google this at the source, you just Google Clifton Strengths, one word, and it'll take you right to the Gallup organization, and you can get the assessment and do whatever you want to do. But Don Clifton's got this great quote, and the quote is, imagine what would happen if we focused on what is right with people instead of fixating on what is wrong with them. And I'm telling you, if you could just put that on your bathroom mirror and look at it every day, you know, your world would change. And if, you know, if as Arlo Guthrie used to say, you know, and if a couple of people did it, you know, it would be a thing. And if some more people did it, it would be a movement. Yeah. And if more people did it, it would be a revolutionary way to make the world a better place. Imagine what would happen if we focused on what was right with people instead of fixating on what is wrong with them. Mm-hmm. It's a really powerful thought.
Yeah, it's very powerful. I don't think it's selling so well because if you're not looking at the what's wrong with people, you cannot sell like solutions for their problems, you know. So I think it's all marketing hook. Me as a marketing expert, we put it. I think it's all about marketing. Now, all this is brilliant. How can someone, once that they know what their strengths are and they are working on their strengths, I mean, they're working based on their strengths, can actually bring all this knowledge within whatever they're doing, because we are talking about econ, we're like econ focus. Now here, if you're a solo entrepreneur, or if you're a medium business, even if you're a large business, how would you take all this knowledge and really apply it to whatever it's next?
Great question. So first you know, learn your top five or your top 10 and spend a little time, you know, soaking in that, getting, you know, starting to see it in your life and things like that. Then I would tell you to go to your inner circle, maybe. Let's imagine, just as a to kind of draw a temporary picture. Mm-hmm. Let's imagine an organization that's got, you know, 10 people in it, some virtual assistants and some freelancers and things like that. I would, if I was starting over, I would go then to, you know, my next two or three people that I worked with a lot every day, you know, and I would say, hey, listen, this is going to sound crazy, but are you familiar with Clifton Strengths? Can I give you $20? Would you take this assessment? And there's no bad answers. You know, you're going to learn what your top five strengths are. And I would do that with my top two or three people, let them get the hang of it. And then I would say, hey, listen, I'll buy you a sandwich. Let's just go. I just want to hear what your top five are. And I want to tell you what mine are. And let's just kind of, you know, go back and forth. And one of the ways to really learn this stuff, of course, is to teach it, right? The best way to learn is by teaching. Yep. So if you knew you were going to sit down with somebody and they had five strengths totally different than yours, and you had to kind of do a little homework on it, you know, you would start to say, oh, so that really is them. This, mine were me, but those are them, you know? And then start doing it, and then use the word, right? You know, you might be in a meeting someplace and you would say, hey, you know, we've got all these great ideas because I've got ideation, but we got to get some of them done. And remember at lunch, you told me that, you know, we discussed that you've got Achiever. That means you like checking stuff off. You like finishing stuff. You just love that. Could I get you to help me with this? Because we got to get some of this done. You know, I'm kicking up too many ideas and we got to get a few projects finished. Yep. And I would, you know, lean into that, right? And then now you've got, you know, after a couple of months, now you've got your group of two, three, four people that have this vocabulary. And between, you know, three of you, you're going to have, you know, probably at least 10 different strengths, you know, that you're going to be able to explore and understand and use those words. And then you say, okay, now listen, we're going to do the whole organization. And again, $20 times 10 people is $200. This is no place to make a lot of money, is what I'm saying, selling these tests. Okay. Yep. but it's a great place for a bootstrapped organization to put together a human development program, right? Where people say, geez, you're investing in me just $20, but that's, you know, more than some companies do. And you care about me. You're learning about me. I'm learning about you. And we're talking better, right? And when you start to use those words, they start to go through the organization. And the next thing you know, you're going to find out that a couple of people were in a meeting someplace and they were been tasked with a project and they said, hey, can we go get so-and-so because they've got Activator and they could help us get this thing going, or they've got Ideation and they could help us get this thing going, or maybe they've got Deliberative and they could help us sort out what's going on, you know, mm-hmm. and making sure that we're doing the right thing. So they would start to know this, and in the Gallup world, everybody puts their top five in the email signature line. Everybody, you know, says, this is who I am and this is what I do. And you start to learn that about people and you interact with them better and you start to draw on them when you need them.
Got it. So if you're using this within an organization, ideal would be, I'm summarizing what you were saying. So ideal would be if there are 10 people, at least to give them the test, see where they excel, what are their strengths, and then based on that, also have them learn the language, because this is also like a lingo. Like you have those skills, so you have those traits, so you can talk at the same level with them, correct? Did I understand that correctly?
Exactly.
Got it. And in this scenario, because we were talking about having already employees who have these abilities, is that also an option to hire someone who doesn't have? For example, as you were saying, I'm also like a learner and I love to learn, yet maybe not executing on all the ideas that I'm learning. So here, would I look for, like, let's say project management, am I looking for that particular strength with them, or should be already in the organization and find that person who already has it? Does it make sense what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah, so having... you don't use strengths to select a person, right? So because you're going to be wrong, right? You're going to say, geez, I need a salesperson. So I want one that's competitive because I've decided that only competitive salespeople are good. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not true. So if that's what you do, you're not going to get, you know, the right person. It is better to interview as you would normally do, you know, for skills and experience and relationships or whatever matters. And then once they're on board, let them take the assessment and see what are their strengths. Now you know how to work with them. You know how they become successful. So there's a great anecdote about the vice president of strategic communications that took the assessment, and she didn't have strategic and she didn't have communication as strengths, but she was really good at her job, yep. Right? It's just that she used other strengths to do that. So that's the key thing.
Got it. Love it. All right. So you're not hiring for one specific strength, but you're hiring the person. And then within this person, you're going to look up their strengths and see how can that fit with whatever you have already. Right?
Correct. Absolutely.
That sounds great. So at this point, are there any questions that I should have asked about this topic that I haven't?
No. But I want to express this idea because this is, you know, your question about, you know, why don't more people, you know, do this, mm-hmm. is really key. This is a great way to know yourself. I use this with my guys all the time. I know what their strengths are. And as I go to talk to them about something, I know that if I present it in such a way that it fits their strengths, they're going to look at it as, you know, as in baseball, it's as a pitch they can hit. Right. If I serve it to them the right way, they're going to say, oh, I can crush that, you know? So I do that all the time. Steve and I do it. You know, he'll talk to, we'll be talking about a situation and Steve will say, hey, you know, I need you to lean into your strategic on this one, and sort through some answers and come back to me with some choices and a recommendation, you know? Well, geez, that just fires me up because I know that, that I can do that. Right. Whereas if he told me to write with my left hand, it would be a terrible experience, you know? So that's the first part. But then, like I said, the workforce is changing. I understand, you know, Steve's point about how China is changing and sourcing is changing. And, you know, there's going to be, you know, working with different countries and different combinations. But there's also this enormous change in the workforce. And an entrepreneur needs to have tools and plans about how to deal with this. And one great plan with team is to retain them. Right. Mm-hmm. If you like them, if you're glad that they choose to spend their days working on your project, you should retain them. And if you invest in them, they will appreciate it. People don't quit jobs. They quit managers. They leave the manager because they don't like them. And it takes an enormous amount of money to pay someone to like you. Okay. But if you invest in them, if you help them to grow, if you want them to develop and grow, they will stay. And you can reduce your turnover. You can reduce the amount of time you spend looking for somebody. You can reduce your risk of hiring bad people by investing in them. And again, it's $20 a person. So, you know, and it's not to me, it's to Gallup. Mm-hmm. And it's an online assessment and it's in, I don't know, I think it's in 27 languages. So if you've got a team in the Philippines and they want to take it in Tagalog, bingo, not a problem. Done. If you've got freelancers in China and they want to take it in Mandarin, not a problem. So invest in your people. Try to get to understand them better so that you can retain them, so that you can build a culture that will, you know, get you through these coming years. You young people don't know anything about inflation. I do. I remember it. It's a big deal. It brings a ton of change, right? There's gonna, if you thought things were, you know, busy the last couple of years, wait till you see the next 5 years. They're gonna be busier. And you got to have a team that can react and adapt, a team that talks and communicates, a team that understands and cares about each other. This is a way to build a strong team.
Mm, got it. I love it. And I honestly, it's funny that you were saying that. I also see on, not necessarily like in business, but also like on personal level, because both me and my husband took the test. And honestly, it's not only helping you to see what the other person is trying to do, but also make them understand, hey, this is the language that I should talk to them, because otherwise they might not they are not understanding you, you know, they're not understanding your language. So I definitely would highly recommend also, if you're looking like you're in a relationship, also then it's going to help you, not only like in business. So yeah it's really cool.
It gives you the context and perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also like it, not only that, but for example, like for me, for example, as a learner, I love to learn a lot, but I'm not always executing on what I'm learning, you know, and that's something that it's driving my husband crazy. Now he understands why, you know, also like for me, like it's similar, you know, at least, you know, and you, I think you can help the other one to really excel, to not only do the things that they are really good at, but also to, if they have blind spots, to notice them and to help them, hey, look, there's the blind spot. Be careful there, you know? So I definitely agree with what you're saying. Michael.
Yeah, we didn't get into blind spots at all, but that there's a whole nother conversation around that and how understanding them can be helpful.
Yeah, definitely. If we had like one more time, like 20, 30 minutes of your time, we're going only and talk about blind spots. Because those were like my favorite, you know, I was like, okay, reading. Okay. I'm excellent at this, at that. Oh, blind spots. Okay. Oh, that's what I'm doing. You know, blind spots. That's what I'm doing. So definitely, Michael, to be super, super respectful of your time before we're wrapping up, I love to ask a few questions to my guests to first off know them better and also to have our listeners understand how they can improve themselves about the topic that we talked. So first off, it's if you would have a superpower, which one would be and why would you choose it?
So I'm not a Marvel Universe guy. My whole family is, but I am not. So I hope this is not too quaint of an answer, but I believe in love.
All right.
I think it is the superpower. And while invisibility and giant hammers and whatever would be fun sometimes, I really, really believe in love. I was on Twitter this morning. There's a lady I follow. She's a minor celebrity. And she made a post that just she was just down on herself. It was really sad. And I don't know her. I'll never be as famous as her. I'll never be as successful as her. But I just reached out to her and I said, it's debatable whether you're as bad as you say you are. But there are thousands of people that love you. Mm-hmm. And she came back and liked the post. And I feel like I did the world a little bit of good, because this is somebody she's a creative person and we need those. And so I just believe in love and trying to help people.
You know what? Invisibility and all this stuff, I would love it too. But honestly, without love, what is out there? And let's leave it to that. Loved it. All right. So which is a $20 or less investment you recently made that made you better at leading?
Well, that's a pitch I can hit. Spend 20 bucks, get the book, take the assessment. You can go to Gallup and pay 20 bucks. You can go to Amazon and buy the book and it's 20 bucks and comes with an assessment. It's 20 bucks. It's just awesome. And again, it's to Gallup. It's not to me. I get nothing out of it. It's just me saying, this is a better way to live your life.
Brilliant. And I'm also like, I say the same thing. Yes. And also you can go for the next 10 as well. That's a bit like higher price. So that's $50 or less. That's $50 or less. So it's still like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Most definitely. All right. So what are your top three favorite books and why do you love them?
All right. So just to stay on topic for a minute, you held up Strengths-Based Leadership, and mm-hmm. that's a good one. There's one called It's the Manager, which I like. There it is. Good for you.
Thank
you. That was not coordinated, people. That's just a fan.
It's a huge fan, yes.
I think It's the Manager is an excellent book on this topic. And it may look like a big, heavy book, but the back half is all reference. It's really just maybe 120 pages on the front half that matter. So it's not a heavy read. But my three books, and none of these are business books. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of business podcasts, and they're all, business books. Let me give you three that are not, but have a connection. The first one is The Martian.
All right.
By Andy Weir. The movie was good. The book is way better. The audio book is even better than that. And it's a business book because it tells us that bad stuff is going to happen and we've got to solve it. And just when we think things are going good, there's going to be manure everywhere. And we have to solve that. But we can't give up. There is a solution. We just got to work towards it. When I get stuck and depressed, I listen to The Martian to pump me up, just because it's that great of a book. Next one, I guess, is kind of a business book. It's Shoe Dog by mm-hmm. Phil Knight of Nike. And I like it because there's a lot of survivor bias, right? We hear people on podcasts that talk about stuff and we assume that they're right because they got onto the podcast. And sometimes what they're telling us is old news. Sometimes what they're telling us is not applicable to today, but they were successful once. And so we think they will always be successful. And that's just not true. Phil Knight, his book is super autobiographical, super candid about the failures and all of the bad stuff and where he's screwed up. And he doesn't just, you know, gloss over it. He says, I screwed that up. And for that reason, I think it's a good book for entrepreneurs to learn from. And then the third one is called The Boys in the Boat by Daniel James Brown. And it's the story of a crew from my neck of the woods here in the Seattle, Washington area. The University of Washington is a beautiful campus. It's right on Lake Washington. And during the Depression, they had a rowing team, a crew team. And it's the story of that team in 1930. I think the hero kind of started school in 32. But it's 32, I think, through 36. And it's there's a couple of, first of all, it's an amazing story. It's an awesome audio book. And there's a lot of history that you pick up, and at the end of the day, it doesn't give anything away because it's on the cover. This group of kids that are, you know, that whose parents are lumberjacks and laborers and stuff, they go to college, they get on this team, and they end up being the U.S. representative to the Olympics. And despite tremendous adversity, they win right under Hitler's nose. Hitler was at the race, and they had disadvantaged the Americans, and the Americans still win right under Hitler's nose. And it was an embarrassment to Hitler, and a great success for these kids. But the other part that's in there is you can watch the coach of the team, whose name escapes me right now. He has to figure out in this boat, who do you put where? If you told me to manage the boat, I would put the lightest guy in the coxswain position, right? He's kind of the guy that's watching the course and yelling. And then I would just put the other 10 guys in the boat and say, row like hell. What else do you have to know? That's the sport, right?
Yeah.
And this guy breaks it down and says, no, different roles, different people are good at different things. And you need certain people in certain chairs in that boat, because they are at their best in that spot. So the guy in seat three has a job that's different than the guy in seat five. It seems inconceivable, but it's there. And it really plays into this theme of strengths, right? That knowing, getting the right people into the right spots, doing the right stuff, you know, you can put together a championship. And for those of you that are competitive.
For those who are not, you know, they're still like the one who does a lot of competitiveness, and it still has a place. So please continue.
Yeah. So there's three books that are super fun. You know, we're going into the holidays. There's a lot. We're going to be working our tails off from now till Christmas. If you need a place to relax, here's a place to get some really good life experience, some really good managerial examples that it's fun and it's easy. And, you know, it's a scoop of sugar that goes with all the lemon juice that we get every day.
Loved it. Great books as well. The Martian is the first one that someone is actually recommending me to listen to, which is like, great. I watched the movie, so it's definitely, thank you so much.
Oh, so much better.
For all these. Thank you. I'm always like putting them in my, because I'm also like a, like to listen to them rather than read to them, because when I'm reading very slow. So these are brilliant if I'm going to have them as audiobooks. And the fourth and last question here would be, how can people get a hold of you, say hello, find out more about also the coaching services, also about Parsimon as well?
Yeah, so there's I'll give you maybe two email addresses. Yeah. I am the president of Parsimony, which is this ERP solution for e-commerce providers. And if you've got questions about that, you can reach me at michael@parsimony.com. Parsimony is Parsimony. But I also am lucky enough to have one of the greatest domain names ever. And you can reach me at michael@pinkow.ski, PINKOW.SKI, which is how you spell my last name.
That's neat. And thank you so much. And I'm sorry, I'm always miss, like, I'm not saying it right. It's parsimony, right? That's the way how you pronounce
Parsimony.
It. Parsimony. Yep. There you go. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you so much for all this. This is super, super valuable. And at, as I was saying, I hope that all our listeners are going to really take action, because at this point, you just really have to take action, take the test, see who you are, stay, see what your strengths are, and see and understand what Michael and I today were talking about the show. It really makes difference and it makes a big difference. So thank you so much once again. And also everyone listening, take care, have a nice day, and see you next time. Take care.